Well, good morning, everybody. Thursday morning here in Sydney, Australia. I'm Darren Saul here, your host of Playing With Perspective, the suspended animation podcast. And I am super excited because I have an incredible show and a very, very special guest joining me from LA. Tasia Valenza is in the house. How are you, Tasia? Oh.
Thrilled to be here, and it's Wednesday at 6 p.m. my time, so we're on this incredibly 17-hour different time zones, different locations, which is
absolutely
the phantasmagorical aspect of technology. Isn't it wonderful?
We love it. We absolutely love it. And today, we're going to be chatting about how to give great voice, and I love that topic in itself because it's something that we really take for granted, and none other than Tasia, who is an Emmy Award-winning voiceover artist, actress, TEDx speaker, and confident communication coach. But for everybody out there, I'll just give you a little bit more information into who Tasia is and what she's actually accomplished, because it's been an incredible amount. So Tasia Valenza, as I mentioned, award-winning, Emmy award-winning artist, actress, TEDx speaker, confident communication coach, renowned for voicing iconic female characters in video games and animated television shows, such as the seductress Poison Ivy in the Batman Arkham series, Commander Vanessa Dozer in Star Wars Resistance, General Shakti in Star Wars The Clone Wars, and Sniper Wolf in the fan favorite Metal Gear Solid games. Tasia voices countless commercials, animated series, video games, narrations, promos, and radio imaging. These experiences inspired the creation of Give Great Voice, a platform that encourages confident, considerate verbal communication. And additionally, Tasia has co-created and voiced a free-to-use, science-based affirmation meditation app called Haven, with the hopes of helping people rewire their brains for peace of mind. So Tasia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. That's a mouthful.
It is, but I managed to get through it. I'm happy.
You did beautifully. It's really nice to be with you.
So Tasia, tell us a bit about you that I haven't already covered.
Well, let's see. You know, I've been passionate about giving great voices, both an actress and a voiceover artist, for 35 years. So I've played literally thousands of roles, and I've always understood, you know, I understand as the actor these four questions. You know, who am I, the character? Yep. Who am I speaking to that's in the scene, you know? And what do I want? Yep. And how does my voice support that intention? So I realized that, you know, the same things that allowed me to become a really good speaker, which I didn't start out. I mean, I didn't even like the sound of my voice the first time I heard it, which people are always shocked because, you know, my voice is like my voice. But you know, I, as an actress, you don't really hear your voice until you become the voiceover artist, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, is that how I sound?
Yeah.
But I mean, I came from the world of acting. I called myself a recovering actress and a fully functioning voiceover artist because as an actor, you know, you're really damaged because you're rejected so much. And that was one of the things. I started acting at 15 professionally, and I got my first movie, and then I went on to be on All My Children, a soap opera, and had great success with that. But then I lost my job because on a soap opera, they can fire you every 13 weeks, but you're kind of locked in. So
yeah.
That was like I rose up to stardom from 15 to 19, and then boom, I had to start all over again.
Yeah,
which was my first great opportunity to, you know, to learn resilience on top of giving great voice. And I'm so passionate about acting, but found so often for many performers that, you know, you have the talent, but the rejection of like, you're not enough of this, or you're too much of that, you're too tall, you're too this, you're too that. When I had the opportunity to start doing voiceovers, voice acting, all of that went away.
Gotcha.
And it became just about what this instrument, this beautiful communication tool could do.
Beautiful.
And all of a sudden, I started getting more jobs and more jobs and more jobs that I never would have gotten on camera. Yeah. All of a sudden, I was getting. And this absolute liberation of my acting and ability and the joy of being able to act unencumbered by the physicality of which counts so much for on camera and theater. I mean, we want to believe the part, and that's so much of what we physically resemble, was gone. And so I had a 6-year overlap. And then, you know, I always joke that my therapist mentioned that my mental health was going up in proportion to the amount of voiceovers I was doing. I had a light bulb moment of like, you know, and it coincided with my meeting my husband, who was not an actor, not in the business. And I thought, you know, I'd really like to be married for a long time and not, you know, not leave him to go off and act and, you know, have him be very frustrated. And, you know,
so the life of a traveling artist is not easy.
Not conducive to a functional, healthy marriage. I always, you know, again, one of my jokes is like, I just tell my husband, listen, sweetheart, I'm going, you know, on this desert island with Brad Pitt, but it's completely professional. And I'll be back in 6 weeks and I will call you every day. You know, I would have come home to crickets. I would have, you know, so it was one of those decisions, like the universe aligned, the voiceovers were going up. I wanted to have children and a husband, and I decided to make those two a reality. I left behind the on-camera acting, and 25 years later, I have the most incredible, fulfilling career. I have the same husband. I have 3 beautiful children. Oh, so it was a great win. And so that's my background. Awesome. And after doing it for so many years, I started realizing that the same principles that I applied to playing great mothers and great wives and CEOs and the intentions of what the voice did, I could literally apply those same ideas in how to intend my roles.
Wow.
My real life roles.
Yeah, perfect.
And so I was able to start teaching these same concepts that had made me such a successful communicator, not only in my profession, but in my real life. And now that's the platform to give great voice, to learn to think like a voiceover actor in your own life, so you can play your professional and personal roles more successfully.
I love it. How beautiful. And I mean, obviously you mentioned that you weren't that self-aware of your voice or the power of your voice initially, but when did that start to happen? When did you start to realize, ooh, I've got something here and I think I can really make something of this?
Well, you know, interestingly, I knew I always had an interesting voice, at least, you know, when I was a kid, you know, we made prank phone calls back then. Those were the innocent days, you know, and I had a very sophisticated voice. So when my friend and I, we had a similar voice, but she would pick up the phone and talk for a while. And then when it got to be a little bit more sophisticated, she goes, your turn, you know, so I said, hello, you know, I was like 11 years old, but I'd hang up. So I knew I had something, but, you know, as an actor, you're applying your voice, but you're also applying the look and
the
non-verbal communication that we talk about.
That's right.
And then as a voiceover artist, you have the benefits of not being seen anymore, but then you also have the challenges to overcome because you're not seen anymore. Your non-verbal communication, it all has to be channeled into the voice.
Definitely.
So as soon as I started realizing, wow, I'm booking this and I'm booking that, and the same acting I was applying to, you know, instead of deep, I mean, that's the thing about voiceover. It tends to be fairly superficial. So what I used to is like spend 2 days on trying to get the depth of the character. I had to spend 20 minutes. So like, you know, to come up with the superficial, you know, mom voice or whatever. Yeah. But I realized that the dexterity of all the roles I could play was from concentrating these 4 questions. Who am I? Am I a CEO? Am I a manager? Am I a wife? Am I a friend? Who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to my husband to tell him about a new detergent. I'm speaking to my girlfriend to tell her about this incredible new company. You know, the intention, I started realizing, wow, my voice is kind of like a violin or a singer. You know, we think of those people as instruments.
Yeah.
This is the same thing, this understanding of, wow, what does it mean to intend, meaning, okay, so I always joke. I love to joke. My husband knows exactly how I feel about him as soon as I've said his name.
That's right. Just by the way you say it. Those couple of syllables.
Well, it's not even, it's like, honey, Harvey, you know, honey, Harvey, right? And we all do this unconsciously. Most of us are reactive. I'm one of those people.
Definitely.
But we can start thinking, you know, a lot of us are learning, if we set the intention for the day, right? We get up in the morning, we're going to have this great day. We write in our gratitude journal. We focus on our list. Today's going to be this incredible day. I'm going to get this done. You know, and for me, as an example, by 10 a.m., my intentions have gone out the window. I've screamed at my kids. I feel terrible. My husband is and I have sniffed at each other. And I feel like, you know, my tone, the tone of the day did not go well.
Totally changed. Yeah.
Because I didn't remember what was my intention. So if my intention, you know, I call it the multifaceted me map, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me give you an example. So I love to use Poison Ivy because she's a very well-known character, but so let's think of her as a role, right? She's known as a seductress.
Yeah.
So even though she's an eco-terrorist and she's, you know, or she's a shiro to some, what channels for her, what's her intention is always to seduce.
Yeah.
So who's she speaking to? Batman. What does she want? She wants to get him close. Why does she want to get him close? To kill him.
Yeah,
well. But she has to get him close, right? So here's me, the same thing as the wife, you know, talking to my husband. Could you pick up your socks, honey? Could you pick up your socks? You know, which one? If I could just apply the same principle. That's have a funny story that the first time he came with me to one of my jobs for a promo, we had been dating for a year. And, you know, I said, honey, can you come with me? And it was for ABC. And I had to literally put on that sound, you know, coming up on ABC. And he listened to me do it all these times. And then he said to me afterwards, he said, why don't you talk to me like that? I said, all you have to do is pay me.
I'll do anything you want.
Just pay me some money. Pick up your socks, baby. But otherwise, you know, I'm a reactive. Pick up your socks. It's the 800th time. So, but we can apply those same things, especially in work situations, right? Now we're all on Zoom.
Yep.
And we've lost a lot of this body language. Again, these nonverbal cues. And we also feel like, oh my God, we're on screen now. All eyes are on us. It's a lot of pressure.
It is, yeah.
So what are the things that we can bring to that to make us feel more confident? I have some, you know, tools in my tool bag. Think, what's my intention for this Zoom call? What do I want to convey? Do I want to sound enthusiastic? Do I want to sound inspirational? Do I want to sound authoritative? You know, do I want to,
do I want to sound like a leader or do I want to sound like one of the team?
Right. And even as one of the team, the easiest thing we can do to represent, again, to give great voice, to smile.
Yep.
Genuine smile.
Yep.
Before we speak, not only do we release our own good feelings of dopamine. And again, I don't mean to manufacture it and like smile. It's more of like taking a breath, setting the intention for the meeting ahead of time, grounding ourselves, thinking, what do I want the end of this meeting to be like, the feeling that I want, or someone to say, wow, you were wonderful today, or it was great. And then coming in with this nonverbal communication of openness and of warmth and of trustworthiness.
I love it. I'm so glad you said that because, you know, whenever there's an announcement or there's, you know, I pay a bill by phone and I'm listening to a voice, or even when I'm just talking to somebody on the other end of the voice, when someone is smiling, I can tell. That is really interesting. You can just tell.
Right. Well, that's the thing is I always had in my TEDx talk, I had people close their eyes, you know, and I said one line three different ways.
Yep.
And even right now, I mean, if we closed our eyes and I just said, if you closed your eyes and I said, you know, Darren, it's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Let's do it. I'm closing my eyes.
All right. You do it. Okay. So here's three different intentions. This is going to be neutral. Darren, it's a pleasure to be here. This is going to be slightly frustrated. Darren, it's a pleasure to be here. And this is going to be warm and inviting. Darren, it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, I like that one.
Right. And all I'm doing is smiling. And my clients will say to me, can you put more warmth? Can I hear more smile? And all I do is just I smile more. I just warm it up. And so we can intentionalize it.
That's the intention.
We intentionalize our voices.
Gotcha.
And especially if you're going to be on the phone and, you know, there's a tip if you're thinking, okay, how can I sound warm naturally?
Yep.
And if you're on a phone, put a picture of your favorite person that you love, even if it's your dog.
Cool.
You know, you can something that makes you feel naturally good.
Nice. I like
you can
that.
Do that. You can hack it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could think like, what do I want to convey? Well, if you want to convey someone who's trustworthy, which by the way, again, I refer to that because there was a study done, and I read this in Amy Cuddy's book, Presence, which was amazing. that people that, you know, they think of themselves as competent or trustworthy. A lot of times you can't get both. If you get both, you're like really set, competent and trustworthy. But they did a study with the interns for a whole summer, those that identified themselves as competent versus those that identified themselves as trustworthy.
Wow.
Well, of course, you can imagine what the end of the summer, the ones that identified as competent did not get asked to stay.
Right.
Why was that? Because they didn't engage. They never asked for help. They didn't socialize. They were busy being competent.
Yeah.
But you know, you can teach competency more than you can teach that innate trustworthy. Right. I believe you. I like you.
Competence is just, you know, you can do a job well enough, but trustworthy or being trusted is when you connect with another person and they let you in. Very different
That's
story.
Right. You have to feel safe.
Yep.
Somebody has to feel safe with you.
Yep.
And just again, back to that, the warmth and of intention of our voices, when, you know, especially right now, yeah, we're social distancing. We're not even able to physically touch one another.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
But so our voices.
Touch one another with our voice.
Yes, we can bridge that divide with a warmth and a compassion and an empathy and a generosity and a grace.
I love it. And it's so interesting because we always tend to focus so much on what we say, but not how we say it.
Right. And we hit people much more in the emotions than we do in the brain, right? If you only hit them in the brain, it's, you know, that's why, again, great storytellers, the great, when you think about our vocal superheroes,
like
Oprah or Sigourney Weaver or Martin Luther King.
Or Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, the voices that.
Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones.
We want to listen to them. We're instantly captured.
Yep.
Well, what is that? Well, you know, again, we could break it down. There's usually a gravitas, a little grounded sense, absolutely. You know. Yep. That there's a wise elegance to it. You know, and again, but this is my normal voice that I'm just adding a little bit of gravitas. I'm adding a little bit of weight to it versus a little bit of lightness, just to kind of, you know, again, depending on my particular role. So I'm, you know, when I say roles again, think of yourself, Darren. How many roles do you play? If you think about it, how many roles are you?
5 to 10, so many different.
Yeah, names. Name some, just like off the bat. Like
I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a
a podcast
host, I'm a social media guy, I'm a photographer, I'm a friend, I'm a family member. Oh my God, I could go on forever.
Right, and we all are. The multifaceted, magnificent me map, I call it, because most people don't recognize the magnificence of who they are.
Yeah.
And so if you think about the roles you play, the fathers and the sons and the daughters and the friends and the CEOs and the dog moms and the confident, courageous candidate, we can think, what is the intention? What are three intentions that I want? Mm-hmm. So right now I'm a guest. You're my host.
Yep.
My intention as a guest is to come with enthusiasm and excitement and a warmth because I want to engage with you. The word engage we use so much. So many of us are doing our engagement with our fingers.
That's right.
And that's another thing. To give great voice, you have to take your message out of this digitization to really capture your audience. It's far more powerful that way. And one of the reasons I made the TED Talk was I was really fearful of the amount of digitization of our emotional communication that was happening. And, you know, I have to say, the pandemic is nothing I would wish for, but it certainly has created that it's no longer an aberration to call somebody and say, how are you? Which was what it was becoming to me. It was like, you know, if I called somebody, they were almost like, is anything wrong? No, I actually wanted to call you. I wanted to say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because we tend to hide behind technology because it's so easy and it's so accessible and we're multitasking. But, you know, to really achieve a goal, you know, if we get back to basics and really talk human to human, our voice and our connection is so powerful.
It's paramount. And even, you know, Carmine Gallo, who's written so many books, Talk Like TED and Five Stars. I mean, Five Stars, his latest book, is about the more AI takes over.
Yeah.
The more we're going to need our emotional intelligence and not just be a coder, but a coder that can convey the message to their clients. It's no longer enough to have, because, you know, AI is coming for us. So we're going to need that human to human ability to land our message in the way we intend it.
That's right. Because, you know, all of us are not used to receiving messages in that form. So we're going to be confused as well. We have to find our internal calibration method to actually start deciphering what's coming through. So it's a challenge when you think about it.
Yeah, but there are some simple, you know, again, I have clients that are lawyers and doctors and teachers and students. You know, there's some simple ideas that we can use right away to start accessing it. And of course, I'd love to give you some.
Yeah, let's go. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if we think about, okay, an example of I actually had a client friend who was doing Periscope sunsets. Yep. And he was, you know, doing this beautiful sunrise with Periscope Live. And he was noticing that, you know, he had very little engagement. People weren't staying on. They were dropping off. Yeah, yeah. So he thought about, you know, I actually made this affirmation meditation app, which, by the way, again, is a self-affirmation, our self-speak.
Nice.
Out loud versus our thoughts is another part, but I'll get back to the,
yeah, I like
so
that.
He started thinking, you know, wow, she's so soothing when she speaks, and it instantly transported him. And I wasn't even working with him at the time. He took what I was doing and started applying it, realizing this beautiful sunrise needed a voice to complement that. People are just waking up. They don't want to like a, hi, we're on the sunrise and it's up. So he changed the intention. It changed the tone, and his engagement went through the roof. Wow. And he told me that story. And I was like, that was like, give great voice through osmosis, because he recognized his role was to not only show this beautiful sunset, but to verbalize and compliment and soothe and wake up with it. So this is, again, you know, my clients recognize, as a lawyer, I have female lawyers that maybe they feel a little timid, and so they're not conveying their message. But, you know, again, just as gravitas senses a little bit more strength in the voice, that lower pitch, you know, when you're light, people take you a little less seriously.
Gotcha.
So I'll work with my female lawyers so that they can kind of just ground their voices a little bit more, or maybe again, use their diaphragm and think, what am I trying to convey? I'm trying to convey authority. I know what I'm talking about. So it's these small shifts, but I will say that, you know, to give great voice has to start with, how do we give great voice to ourselves?
Yeah. And self-awareness, like you have to be aware of yourself, I think, and aware of, you know, how you're affecting everything around you to start to really be able to communicate properly. That's my view.
I agree.
Yeah.
And part of us also have to think, though, so many of us tear ourselves down. I'm an idiot. I'm so stupid. How am I going to, you know, they're going to know I'm an imposter. I can barely speak, you know, and then they go out and they try to give great voice, you know, it's like, hi, you know, but their internal conversation has been such a negative, you know, and in my research for my affirmation meditation app, I found out that we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day just downloading.
My God.
Unchecked. 60 to 70,000, right? Because most of us, you know, we're multitasking again. Once we're not consciously thinking of something, you know, we drive to work, or, you know, we're washing the dishes. Most of us are thinking thoughts during those. That's how many we thought.
That's right.
But many of those thoughts, like 80% of them, are negative from the day before and the year before and the year before.
So childhood or whatever. Yep.
Very much our I always call it 0 to 7. That's where we got the operating system for our computers, the brain.
Yep.
And we're operating 95% of our brain on those old programs.
Yep.
So I call the speaking the language of self-love, giving great voice, is speaking the language of self-love, which is
like
a foreign language for most people.
Speaking the language of self-love. I love that. How cool is that?
Yes. And that's, again, well, how do we do that? Well, the affirmation meditation app that I co-founded called Haven is broken down into masteries on wealth, confidence, health. And it's literally getting into that nice, relaxed alpha state, which is, again, the ability to be much more receptive.
Yep.
And then saying aloud, as opposed to leaving the thoughts in our head, I love myself. I believe in myself. I am powerful. I can accomplish anything I want, which, again, very foreign language to most. I love myself. No, do I love myself? No. Yeah, exactly. You know, but if you do it again and again, it's like going to the gym for your body. You know, you can visualize yourself going to a gym, but unless you go, the same thing. So when you program yourself, you want to reprogram this operating system that's usually working on a 40-year-old computer. Right. Software. We need a software update.
Yeah, it's pre-Apple IIc.
That's right. And so in the state of repetition and rewiring over and over again, we can start reprogramming our self-talk. And when we fill ourselves up, we have so much more bandwidth to go out and give great voice to others.
I love it. And the other thing that I find really interesting when I'm, you know, being aware of my own voice and how I'm communicating is that the rhythm and the speed in which I speak is really important. The cadence is like, sometimes you need to be punchy and fast, but sometimes you need to slow down and speak softly and calmly to convey a particular message. So how much of that plays in as well?
Yes, it's true. Speed, again, you know, speed creates energy and it's powerful. But if you speak too fast, sometimes there's an unconscious sense that you don't believe you deserve to be heard. So, you know, you're trying to get it out really quickly. So you have to then think, there's room for a breath.
Yeah.
There's room to land your message. And that's, again, in my toolbox, I call it beads.
Gotcha.
Breathing, empowering,
yep.
Affirming, dressing. And smiling. So if you take nothing else away from this, and it's the simplest one, diaphragmatic deep breathing is so powerful, both for grounding yourself again when we have that fight or flight response of nerves, which, you know, I no matter how many times I do this, there's an excitement and a nervousness, but I understand that I have the ability to hack my brain through my breath.
Yep.
So diaphragmatic breathing is that the belly breathing, that when we breathe in, our bellies expand. And when we breathe out, our bellies deflate. And it's yoga breathing. Many people know it. But there's so much science now that shows that it really works. So if you take three deep grounding breaths on a count of three breathing in and then six breathing out.
Beautiful.
The longer the breath out, the more you release those nice calming hormones. And also you get more power because when you're fearful, again, everything constricts, you know, so, and then you start like getting high. And again, we say things we don't want to. So breathing those deep breaths, three breaths before you're going to go into your Zoom call, before you're going to get on that phone call, before you're going to ask your boss for a raise. And then, you know, I call the empower is using Amy Cuddy's, the power pose, which has great science. Yeah. You know, you raise your arms or you do the Superman.
Yep.
Which again, based on my background, is very comfortable because, you know, I play the superheroes. But there's science that shows that that raises your testosterone. That's your confidence hormone and lowers your cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
That's your stress hormone. So you empower. And then, you know, again, play with your voice. Think about how do I sound a little bit more confident? Or how do I sound? You know, play with your voice like it's an instrument and borrow from your favorite people. Channel your favorite superhero. But maybe take only 20% or your favorite vocal hero and then see, how does that sound? Do I sound more confident? Do I sound warmer?
Wow.
And use that for your pitch or your speech or your interview, your questions the night before and go in the next day.
So
these are small things. You can layer the tools. You can use one, but they all intentionalize the voice. Oh. My dog is giving great bark. Sorry. Let him out. Hold on.
No problem at all.
Hold on. Come on, sweetie. You must need to go.
No problem. I think he must have found a companion out there that he's talking to. He's communicating.
Yes. So hopefully that allows you to, you know, some tools that I can offer right away. Just to start thinking of the who's, the four questions. Beads, and of course it's all on my TED talk, and but I loved, and I, of course I work with clients. So sorry.
No, all good. It's all part of the fun.
He's a new puppy, so he's a Bernedoodle. He's this beautiful boy. But it's all, you know, when I work with clients individually, we kind of go into like, what are their intentions? What are they trying to achieve with the voice? Are they a speaker? Are they a podcaster?
Yep.
You know, depending on the role, you have a different intention, but it's all having command over our voices in some sense. So it's something that I love working, directly with a client and helping them to like bring out and empower their beautiful voices. And then I love also working with groups kind of to introduce the model and the workshop on, so they can start thinking, you know, customer service. Am I smiling when I speak? Or even me, you know, when I call customer service, how many times by the time I get to one, 20 minutes later,
yeah. I'm not smiling.
That voice, and it's like, you know, if I think about it, are they going to want to help me if I'm coming off, you know, with that bitchy tone of like, no, they're going to want to like have it hang up by mistake. So does that serve serve the intention? No, I want them to be an ally.
Yeah.
So I caught, you know, so it works both ways, but communication is always flowing. And this is our most powerful communication tool.
I love it. It's an instrument. I just love that.
Yes, it's an instrument. And we can use it in conjunction with our technology, but we cannot let technology fill in for us, because that's, we're right, losing a lot of our emotional intelligence from that.
100%. And I mean, when you work with people that you coach, how long in general, I know it's a bit of a general question, but how long generally does it take for you to take someone from A to Z to where they're really empowered and confident using their voice?
I think it depends, again, you know, do they have any background as an actor or a speaker or a beginning? You know, it really depends on if they're starting at zero and it's like, this is all foreign to them, it's going to take a little longer. But I work a lot of times, you know, with three sessions, and people are like, they'll come back to me and say, I can't believe, you know, I got the job, or, you know, or I'm feeling so much more confident in my speech. Because, you know, once they even start capturing the idea of like, oh, you know, I have these words on the page and there's an intention, what's my intention? They start recognizing that their voice can support it. So it's really the mind shift that they've never even listened to themselves before.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, like I said, when I first heard myself, I was horrified. I was like, I thought I sounded more like I do now, you know, many years later. I thought I was much richer. I was much lighter. I was in my 20s and I was like, oh my God, it's not what I thought at all. So, you know, we grow into our voices, but it's like anything. You have to start becoming aware of it. It's a little bit uncomfortable and awkward, but the more you start playing, and, you know, and I'll actually do some role playing where I'll give them a script and we'll start intentionalizing it, or they'll bring me in. It becomes quite fun because you're really releasing the part of you that many of us, you know, we leave behind in high school or a grade school.
It is, and it's creative. You can have fun with it. You know, you can really start to have fun.
So fun, because all of us, why do we love animation so much? Why do we love superheroes? Because, you know, and especially if it's animated, it's just a voice, but we love it. And then when I teach people, especially, you know, animation classes, people like have permission to tap into their inner child. And I feel that way, same thing with when I'm teaching my other clients, you know, to have permission to have fun and be more joyful and be more expressive. All that thing we tampered down, you know, because we wanted to appear, you know, serious or strong, or
we're in a rush, you know, and we just want to get it out there, but we don't want to.
Right. Or we're growing up not using our voices. We're not even, I mean, my teenagers, you know, they don't necessarily in their communication for their friends, it's mostly text. And
that's right.
You know, it's very challenging to overcome that if you don't practice using your voice, you know, having an open-ended conversation where you don't know where it's going to go and you're not fully having to think of it. So
absolutely.
I like to help people, you know, capture the voiceover artists and themselves, think about, you know, what is it about their favorite superhero that they love, and start maybe intentionalizing and channeling some of that.
Yeah, you can have a lot of fun. And I mean, I love stories and case studies. Have you got any examples or stories that you can tell us about how, you know, using your voice can really affect achieving a positive outcome?
Yeah, you know, there's actually a study from the Chicago School of Business that there were, they decided to take, you know, employers and potential employees, and they submitted their pitch by writing and by voice, the same exact words.
Wow, okay.
The ones that used their voices got hired much more than the ones who wrote it. And why is that? Because even though it was the same exact words, because there was the resonance, they could hear the thoughtfulness, they could, you know, hear the intelligence Whereas dry words, the trustworthiness, again, the person to person, because again, you know, we're always taking in information. Is this safe? Do I like this person? Because we're wired for negativity, right? We're wired to hear that saber-toothed tiger. That's when we're baby. So we have a negative bias almost, right? So when someone overcomes that through the frequency of a warmth, we actually feel, you know, again, that trustworthiness. When you're just looking at dry words, you know, you're might be triggered here, but this part is not triggered. And you want to capture both. You want to capture both. So that study was actually done and showed that the same exact words said or written, you actually come across as more intelligent if they can hear your words versus just seeing them.
Because they get connect with who you really are as a person.
Right, as opposed to who you're presenting.
Yeah, I love it. Fantastic. And tell us about your TED Talk. I'd love to hear more about that because I've watched your TED Talk and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It was really interesting and it was delivered brilliantly. So I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes. But what was that experience like?
That was really, you know, again, so many people want to do TED Talks. And even for myself, I had a story that, you know, I saw my first few TED Talks and I was enamored. I was like, I want to go do a TED Talk one day. And, you know, I didn't even have the term give great voice at the time. And I pulled an article from the LA Times that anybody can give a great TED Talk. And I crossed it out, you know, and I wrote Tasia Valenza can give a great TED Talk.
Love it.
And then, 7 years later, I kept that paper and I decided again, you know, the evolution of what give great voice. It evolved so much. And I said, I'm going to apply now. I really know what give great voice means. Because at first it was, you know, just about not doing upspeak, because, you know, the technical things, you know, and it became so much more of the depth of it. And so when I finally applied to get it and I looked at the paper, it was literally 7 years later. So that in itself was just, you know, the power of belief and not giving up, because there were many times I was like, am I ever going to do this TED Talk?
So you manifested and that for 7 years.
7 years. And I have the paper to prove it, but I was literally crying, you know, when I got the phone call, because I only applied one time and I got the phone call and I had this paper on my desk and it traveled with me and I took it back out and I was looking down because I hadn't looked at the date and it was 2013. And I was like, wow, you know, miracles can happen. So then I prepared, of course, now I was like, now I have to actually do it. Oh my God, what am I going to say? So I worked on, again, the principles of this notion of translating the 35 years of being a voiceover actor and an actress and understanding that, you know, these principles could be applied. And then also I shared how I opened it talking about what does it mean to give great voice? Well, the simplest form is to be able to move and touch someone with our voices.
I love it.
So at its essence, that's what it really means, and impact somebody. So I use the example of, you know, I love you said with emotion and feeling is so much more meaningful than I heart you in the emoji, you know? So I was trying to make a statement that when we're thinking about the brain, you know, texting and digital communication is so effective, but when it starts becoming something of the heart that we need to convey an emotion, I'm sorry, said with, you know, sincerity and contriteness to the person that's on the receiving end, that's so much more meaningful than, you know, I'm sorry. And it's almost, again, we're kind of getting away with
variations and all that kind
of. We're not even taking ownership of the responsibility of, like, how is that person even getting to receive it? You know, we're just like, so that was part of why I talked. I also talked about how, you know, a cautionary tale that, you know, we need to call people that we love and tell them that we love them. You know, we always think we can make that phone call next week. And I shared at the end a story that my mom, in the role of daughter, that I was challenged to be the loving daughter. The role of daughter was very difficult for me because my mom and I had this kind of, and I think our family relationships, you know, for many people are the most hair triggered. You know, we can speak in our public lives and friends and people, you know, but then when we go home, that all that those buttons get pushed. And so I shared that, you know, there were many times I could only be the daughter I wanted to be on the phone. And sometimes it got to the point where I was just texting. Yeah. and my mom passed away 10 years ago. And I always get very emotional, but you know, if I could do it again, if I could call her up and tell her how much I love her and hear her, I mean, there was, I have that greatest regret that I didn't understand at the time that my intention to have a good relationship with my mom, I never intentionalized it. And I always reacted and I was always a little bit short and snappy with her because I was, you know, angry from her not being, you know, a perfect mom. Meanwhile, she was a single mom with three kids doing the best she could, you know. And of course, now I'm a mom with three kids thinking so many years later, I wish. So my message at the end is, you know, don't wait for tomorrow. And here we are in this, again, this crazy period of time where we are in such a state of health challenges and fear of losing people we love that it always... it's always the right time to pick up the phone or make a Zoom. And I think this period of time has done that. I haven't had so many deep conversations with my friends in years. And maybe it's because we have the time now or, you know, that's one thing.
I think you're right. Our perspective has changed. We've had a shift in perspective, a shift in consciousness to the, you know, to the right direction, I think.
Playing with perspective, perhaps.
Playing, yeah, I didn't even realize that. Well done. Well done.
Touché. But I really, really want, my hope is that we don't go back completely, that we continue this meaningful conversation.
That's right.
And that we can, you know, that Give Great Voice is much greater than me. But if everyone could use that as a vernacular, and who did I give great voice to today? Who did I call to tell them I love them? Or who, you know, did I even give it to myself? Did I say, you know, gosh, that was a really tough phone call and, you know, you messed up a little bit. That's okay. You know, to be the compassionate companion as opposed to, oh my God, did it again. Or you can do it. You're amazing. You're going to go kill it today. You know, you can give great voice. That's what I like to say. I don't want you to leave it in your head. I want to give permission for people to talk to themselves out loud because it's again, it's much more powerful because our thoughts are so fast and furious. And those old thoughts, I love myself. I believe it. No, you don't. You know, you're an idiot. You're so stupid.
Thoughts dominate and overpower.
Right. But when you say no, excuse me, that's a thought. That's a very scary thought. No, in this moment, I am fine. I am powerful. I believe in myself. I'm going to do great. You know, it's like you're course correcting.
Yeah, I like that.
If you do that enough. So give great voices. How do we give it to ourselves? How do we give it for ourselves, for our success, to get the raise, to get the investment, to create that success? And then how do we use it to deepen those relationships?
Perfect.
That means so much to us.
Beautiful. Very powerful. Because as you say, you know, it's such an incredible instrument. So let's use it to its full potential.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what a waste.
Well, you know, God gave us two ears to listen twice as much. And that's the last component I want to share. That I really, to give great voice is to also give great listening.
Yeah, I love that. Great. You know, they say two ears and one mouth means listen. Right. Double the amount of time to when you speak.
Right. But we, again, when we're listening, you know, I love you. Was that really I love you? Or was it take out the garbage? Or was it, or I'm annoyed with you? Like you can really start listening to people's tones and intentions and then, you know, respond in kind.
Yeah.
Respond like, you know, is everything all right? Sure. Yeah, everything's all right. Is everything really all right, sweetheart? You know, I'd love to hear what's going on with you. And then again, nowadays, to give anybody your full presence, undistracted, is a gift in itself.
It is these days for sure. You know, absolutely. We hardly have time for ourselves, let alone.
Right. And we're also, you know, we're multitasking. It's like I have to capture myself when my daughter wants to speak to me. Put the phone down, put the phone down. You know, it's almost become like normal that you're kind of looking down, but you know, it's not. And we talk about that a lot, that, you know, we all have to make a concerted effort to really be fully present with each other, because that's, again, it's a sign of love, respect, and also that we can get the nuances of what the other person is really trying to convey.
Definitely. I love it. And last thing I want to chat about is your app. Tell us a bit more about this app.
Yes, I mentioned it before. It's completely free. And it's literally in the vein of Calm or Headspace. But, you know, the number one adjective that is for the app is soothing. And I'll tell you again, a great story for my own learning, my own, and being my own client. Yeah. I created the app with, my partners created the actual app part, and I co-wrote it with a friend, and then I voiced all these masteries. And it's about a minute of a thought and a juicy nugget, and then we go into deep diaphragmatic breathing and then the affirmations. And so I recorded all of them. I never worked so hard as a voiceover artist because you're usually just getting the lines, but I co-wrote them and I voiced them over 6 months. And then they created the app, we listened to the music, and I realized I had not supported my role with my intention. My voice came in. So today we're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And now we're going to breathe. And I listened to the music bed and I said, you know what? That I did not serve the role in the way that I wanted to. So I had to go back and re-record all of them.
Wow.
So that I could come in that nice soothing tone. Because if someone was going to devote 5 minutes, I wanted to give them the experience. That's one of the reasons I made the app, is sometimes I'll listen to an affirmation meditation or a guided meditation, and I'm, you know, like I'm like a dog, you know, my ears hurt. I like the message, but not the messenger. So I had to go back and re-record every single one, because I knew that in order for it to convey the intention, that I not only wanted people to receive the information, but I wanted them to be open and relaxed. So they could download it faster. So it was my own, it was a great lesson in my own, you know, communication style that I had to learn, you know, the hard way, how to serve the role. But on the good end, you know, it's a 4.8, people love it. And it's, for me, it's a gift to be able to give it away, because people can truly use it. I've had such great responses of people after, you know, it's like the doctor, take two of these, take seven of these and call me next week. How are you feeling? My clients are really starting to like get this notion of, yeah, I like saying nice things to myself, and I am noticing a difference.
One of these 3 times a day for 5 days and you're cured. No repeat.
Well, you know, it's not cured, it's like anything, but you are starting to rewire, reframe. And when your computer program is working at its optimum level, your brain, you are going to be at your optimum level. I mean, how many of us, again, you know, we go out and people are saying, I did this and I'm so amazing. And, you know, you when you feel good, you're like, you have the generosity of spirit, like, that's fantastic. But when you feel bad, you're like, that's great. That's, I'm so happy for you. Right? But, you know, does it serve us not to love ourselves and to believe in ourselves? No. Confident verbal communication is not something that I want people to manufacture it. I want them to feel more confident. I want them to feel good. And then when they feel good, they can execute from a place of true self mastery and not. And I end each meditation with, I am the master of my mind. I am the master of my body. I am the master of my heart. I am the master of my life. So it's a rewiring, and you say it again. And I have my clients and friends, they always say, I am the master of my mind. I'm like, yes.
Love it.
Because if we don't master our mind will master us.
That's right. For sure. Absolutely. We should all put that in the bottom of our email signature.
Yes. I am the master of my mind. No, but it's, you know, again, it's just a tool. It's just like, again, if you use these tools and you, it's nothing is by, you know, nothing's going to happen overnight. But it's progress, 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 like learning a new language. I mean, I don't know if you speak a second language.
I speak a little bit of Italian, a little bit of Hebrew, a bit of everything.
Right. So it's awkward at first, right? But then you get a little bit more fluid. You can ask for the bathroom and you know what it is. And one day you're speaking it and it's like, this feels very comfortable. That is the same thing. And that's what the app helps you to learn the language little by little until it feels comfortable. And you don't have to go out to the world and say, I'm amazing, but you can. I mean, I start every morning with, I have it on my mirror, this beautiful intentional paper. And it says, today is an incredible day. You know, abundance and mastery has come to me, and I feel joy and I give out joy and it makes me feel great. So I see it every day. And sometimes I remind myself, oh, I've absorbed it. But I say,
let's go back.
Say it aloud, yeah. Affirm it. Because again, you know, to intentionalize it, it's a difference between just absorbing it, seeing it, and then saying it.
Gotcha.
And saying it until I believe it. And even, you know, again, I reference Amy Cuddy, and actors have said it, you know, fake it till you make it, fake it till you become it.
Ah, yes, I like it. Fake it till you become it.
And when you combine the emotion with the head, if you just say words, empty words, and you don't intentionalize the affirmation, mm-hmm. you too are not going to work it. So when you're intending the affirmation, when you're intentionalizing it, if you're in that exuberant state, stay it with exuberance.
Love it.
And if you're in that nice, relaxed, calm, open state of meditation, say it. Write, you know, I'm also all about write little love letters to yourself, notes, you know, immerse yourself in the language. You know, I open a drawer and have it say, hello, gorgeous. You know, just, it can be fun. It's the same way. You know, it's like you're literally immersing yourself because that's how you learn a language. You yep. immerse yourself in the language.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Not to be cocky.
Yeah. My Italian teacher always says you have to have a relationship with your language.
Yes. So the relationship is I want to really love and respect myself, believe in myself, and take the generosity of this spirit, not the cockiness or the arrogance. Because to me, cockiness and arrogance and insecurity is layered. It's the insecurity layered. Yeah. But when we feel that truly deeply, then we have the generosity of feeling, you know, good enough that we don't need everybody else's approval because we have our own.
So true. And then, so where do we find the app? Just on any app?
It's at both the App Store and the Google Store, Google Play, and it's called Haven Guided Affirmations. It looks like a lighthouse.
Okay.
And again, it's my I'd love to hear people's response to using it. It's my pleasure to give it. And then, you know, they can see the TEDx talk is on YouTube. Yeah. And then, you know, I have videos I was showing either my teaching, my students in all forms. And I'm delighted. I'm going to be doing a webinar soon, my first free webinar. So that's something that I'm working on. So I'm always, you know, in the process of either, again, sharing what I love, teaching what I love, doing what I love. My motto is I love what I do and I do what I love.
Well done. And I'm going to put the links to all the ways to find you in the show notes. So everybody can see, they can link to your TED Talk, they can link to your website, they can link to your coaching site, they can link to your app.
So wow.
Everybody out there, don't worry. We got you covered.
I appreciate that. It is my passion to share this. And even if people only take away the app and they take away the TEDx talk and they start utilizing those skills, I will be thrilled and delighted because, you know, it feels very purposeful.
Beautiful. I love it.
You know, someone said to me the opposite of depression is not really happiness. It's purpose.
Ooh, wow, that's gold.
I agree with that. It wasn't mine, but when I heard it, it was that light bulb of like,
I like it.
Because when we're purposeful, we matter.
That's right.
We feel like we matter. And that's what we want to feel. We want to feel like we matter.
Yep, I love it. Absolutely. Tasia, that was an absolute fantastic discussion, conversation, episode. It was delightful to have you on the show. I've learned a hell of a lot, and I'm sure the audience has as well.
And I'm so grateful. And may I say, Darren, that your warmth and your generosity and your absolute exuberance brought out the best in me. So you give great voice.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Tasia. That was absolutely beautiful. But before you go, I always like to ask my guest, even though you've given us so much value, it's incredible how much value, but I'm going to ask my guest to always leave one or two points that just come to your head straight away that allow people to put into place right now and have a better day, better week, better life. You know, what can they take into account that can really help them?
Well, my two favorite statements, my two favorite sayings are, happiness is being grateful for what you have right now.
Love it.
Happiness is grateful for what you have. So happiness is not a destination. It's not a when I have. It's the awareness of gratitude. Gratitude is the road, the path to happiness. So once I heard that, because I was wondering what the definition of happiness was, and it was a great teacher, and she was trying to help us figure it out. And when she said it, happiness is be grateful for what you have right now. it was that light bulb moment again of like, oh, I never thought about it that way. But it's an emotion. You can, I'm happy for two eyes that see. I'm happy for a home that I live in, as opposed to, you know, when I lose the weight, when I get the car. So that's one that I love to share because it impacted my life, and I use it as my shining light when I'm off center. And comparison is the thief of joy.
Oh, beautiful. I like
comparison is the thief of joy, because we can look to the left, and it's not mine. I forgot if it was Martin Luther King. It's somebody. I said comparison is the thief of happiness, but you can always see somebody to the left or to the right. One has more, one has left. If you keep the blinders on, like you're like the horse, and you only think what is mine, what's in front of me, you will have so much less unhappiness, because you know that part of you, that the envious part. But I mean, it's truly, it's the thief, because you could, it's taking your brain and thinking back to the gratitude. Yes. If you combine those two.
Because it's a road that you can never get off. If you start comparing yourself to somebody else, it doesn't matter what you achieve, there's always someone else that's got something different.
Always, and better, and bigger, and more, you know? So it's, yeah. Those are the two things that are my beacons that
even the dog agreed.
Yes, she gives great bark. They both do. But I'll leave you with those.
Thank you, Tasia. That was sensational. So for everybody out there, I hope you had an amazing time. Today, Tasia, and what's the dog's name again?
We have Benji the Border Doodle and Tabby, my two dogs, that bring again so much joy to me by their sheer love and forgiveness and being present in the moment. Again, one of those, you know, the joys. If there's more dogs, I think, adopted now than at any other time. So, you know, dogs are. I could leave you. Not everyone can have one, but that's totally off book. But for all the dog lovers out there.
That's right.
They bring a lot of joy.
Well, Tasia, thank you once again. That was an absolutely sensational conversation, and we really appreciate all the value you've given us and stories you've shared. So for everybody out there, we hope you have a great day as well. We'll see you very, very soon.
Great evening if you're in Los Angeles.
Great evening if you're in LA. And Tasia, thank you again.
Thank you so much, Darren. This was a tremendous honor and pleasure to be with you.
Fantastic.